Are you stressed out? That sound may just be your answer. Beth Jones has been working in the field of behavioral medicine and mindfulness for 20 years, and she says there are resources within all of us, like focusing on sound, that can help improve how we manage that stress. Here's my conversation with Beth. You're listening to The Work-Life Equation, the Bright Horizons Family Matters podcast for busy working families. Whether you're a working mom, a dad, or you're busy caring for other family members, we've got tips for how to fit jobs and families together and for how to make your work-life equation add up. Is it my imagination, do we live in a more stressful place than we have ever before?
I think we're more aware of it. I think that there's more attention paid to it, which is a good thing. I think it's probably, you know, it's sort of a double-edged sword in a way, but the amount of information available to us, both positive and negative, has increased exponentially. There's more financial pressures. We've been in and out of a number of economic declines and upheavals. Work and kids and life all lend to, you know, a form of noise, a form of chaos that needs to be managed in order for us to conduct our lives more comfortably, both emotionally and physically, and interactively, relationally with other people.
So we've established that we are crazy stressed out. What do we do about it?
We sort of have the resources already. Internally, we have them, and we forget that we have them. And when I do workshops with adults and with kids, just using different language, you can teach to a working adult in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s the same thing as you can teach a kid who's 4, 5, 6 and up, just with different language. And a lot of it is, how do you use what you've already got? I will ask you a question that I ask adults and I ask kids. If I say to you, what's the one thing you have to do all the time?
Breathe.
Yes. And there are different ways in which to use your breath. People who do yoga are aware of this. People who typically who meditate are aware of this, but I'd say that the large percent of the population doesn't recognize that there's ways you can use your breathing to improve your physical and your emotional and mental state. A really simple breath exercise is to take a slow breath in so that you feel your stomach rise or your belly move, as we say to the younger kids, and count from 1 up to 5. And then take a brief moment and then count from 5 down to 1. So you're focusing your attention and you're breathing in and out, and it slows your breathing. And by slowing your breathing, you actually sort of slow everything down. Because what we're talking about is not only the noise and the chaos that we live in, but the speed. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it is the speed at which we're expected to move, and the speed at which a 4 and 5 year old is supposed to move. And, you know, a 5 month old as well. But the thing is, the older kids are more conscious of it. As we escalate in speed and noise, they move there right along with us. So I think we all recognize how potentially explosive that can be. And if not even potentially explosive, how stressful it can be for us and for our kids.
So I want people to come away from today with some really, really good actionable mm-hmm. things that they can do. So I'm going to use myself as the poster child.
Excellent.
Because my husband would tell you, one of the most high-stress people he'll ever meet. Mm-hmm. If you talk about somebody who's not able to disconnect at the end of the day, guilty. What's the starting point for someone like me? How can I tone down that noise?
First, I think, is to be aware that it's there. I think that we often walk through our worlds conditioned to the noise and the chaos, and we either shut down or we accelerate. And that often our speeds are not somewhere in between. So part of it is recognizing that there is, gray area is probably the wrong way to describe it, but that there's a middle speed. The work that I used to do, I adapted my program from a clinical medical model. So initially it was programming that was stress management, largely for people who had cardiac problems or cancer or infertility or chronic pain or things of that nature. I took the program and modified it to a more realistic approach to teach in schools to teachers. You cannot say to a teacher, you need to meditate 20 minutes twice a day. It ain't going to happen. But if you say, okay, what we're going to do is find things you can do for 2 minutes twice a day in your classrooms, that suddenly becomes more realistic. What are some times that you think you would benefit from a moment of pause?
Okay. I would say 3. Work. I think that the car. I mean, you know, there are all kinds of studies done saying we're spending more time in our car. That's a horrible moment. And the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So of those 3, the work, I'm trying to get things done, the drive, I just want to get home, and the middle of the night, I just want to be sleeping. Which one can you help me with?
Well, you know, it's funny because the drive one, I will tell you what I do. And I found out that, and I was recently working with teachers in another setting, and I mentioned that we were talking about the driving. I keep a tiny nail file in my car. And when I get stopped in traffic for 2 seconds or whatever it is, I file my nails. Part of what this is removing yourself from the moment of stress and almost distracting yourself briefly so you can take a breath. It's like snapping yourself out of the lunacy of the crazy commuter traffic you're in. So I get stopped in traffic. I look down, I pick up my nail file, I file my nails for 2 seconds and put it back. The other thing, you don't have a nail file in your car, which most people don't, is I loosen my grip barely on the, you know, I don't let go of the steering wheel. But my guess would be that while you're driving, the more stressed out you're getting, the harder you're gripping the wheel, the harder you're probably gripping your jaw, the harder you're gripping your shoulder, the more you're muttering under your breath or not under your breath, depending upon who's in the car with you. And I would take any one or two of those and notice them and then change them. And often people are like, oh, please give me a break. That's not going to do anything. But they are cumulative. One thing I talk about with teachers and kids is, what are the causes of stress? What are the symptoms? And what are the solutions? So say what causes you stress is traffic, the idea of being late for work, time. And the symptoms are clenching your hands, you stop breathing, you get aggravated, you can feel a headache coming on. Your solution is to, in an ideal world, is to go for a run, or is to sit quietly for a moment, is to listen to music, is to do something, you know, or for some people, it's not always going to be good, is to drink, is to smoke, is to do, you know, engage in risky behaviors, whatever the case might be. But the thing is, in the moments that we need any of those tools, good or bad, we usually don't have access to them. When you're driving in a traffic jam, you can't leave your car on, you know, on the pike and go for a run. I mean, you could, but it would be problematic, you know? And, you know, people with little kids, if what's driving you insane is that your kid won't stop asking you for the same thing you know you're not going to give them, you can't go for a run. Some of what it is figuring out what works in the moment. And this is what I mean. It's like, if all you have at that moment is your body in the car, find a way to try to let go of a little of that tension. Open your hands, blink your eyes, rub your palms, do something that distracts you from that moment for a second, if that's all you have. It's like what we do with children. It's sometimes if you distract a child, you draw their attention away from what's bothering them, and then they're okay. Or if not okay, they're better. So it's sort of almost, it's not tricking yourself, but it's a similar thing. It's like how is to get yourself to let go if only for a second, because then that second can bring you to a different place. It works, and the more you do it, the more it works. You don't need contraptions. You don't need, you know, if you can't go to a yoga class for an hour and a half, what are you going to do? And the benefit of a yoga class is in your mind and your body. It's not as if the yoga class is giving you something. It's giving you what you already have, right? It's just showing you how to use it. And this is the same thing. It's just a smaller module of how to relax.
Now, one of the things we were talking about earlier was people are trying to find some of those strategies using their phone.
And
which is really interesting to me.
What happens if you lose your phone and you want to relax?
Then you're really in trouble. But in addition to that, the phones, our phones are the things that bother, or that are driving us crazy. If we're using them to try and calm us down, isn't that counterintuitive?
It's, you know, it's a really interesting point. It's a really, really interesting point. I mean, I guess the way you can think of it, right, is the phone, the iPad, any, you know, any kind of thing. They're tools, right? And like any other tool, it depends on how you use it.
Right.
I think part of it is if you're a person who is going to use an app, a mindfulness app or the Calm app or the Headspace app, and you find that it works, go for it. What I do think is problematic is, can become problematic, is if the phone is the distraction itself, and it's not being used as a vehicle to help us access some more calming opportunity, such as an app. A lot of this really is just about shift. It's about shifting focus.
So give me an example of that. So you're in an office and there's all sorts of sounds. How can you focus on something to shift your...
I can use myself as an example. I have something I have to do. I do communications writing too, and I have something that I have to do for one of the universities. And I'm having a really hard time working on it, focusing to get myself to work on it. There's a lot of supplemental material I have to include in it. Some of it I actually have to write down longhand and then type it into a document, blah, 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 blah. But so what I've tried to do at sometimes while I'm working on it is just at my desk, put my arms down, turn away from the computer. Where my desk is, it's between sort of a park and a busy road. So there's dogs barking and there's people yelling at the dogs that are barking. Then there's a busy street where the buses are going by. So it's a lot of noise. You know, I notice that the noise is there. I don't think of it as something that's bothering me, and I just take a couple of breaths. And a lot of what it is not saying I have to go lock myself into my bathroom so I have no interference and no interruption. Life is full of interruption. But how do I just take 10 breaths. And what I might do is to create my own focus in, as I might use a focus word. Some people use a focus word, like they breathe in and they think of the word like peace or relax or the name of a place, you know, Bermuda, whatever it might be, or an image. You know, they think of the place they love to go and, you know, Tortola, whatever it might be, mm-hmm. and breathe in and breathe out. So some of it is just being in that space consciously, knowing that you still have to do all this work and it still has to get done, but basically it's like a little break.
A reset.
It's a reset. But it's a reset without changing anything except yourself.
For those of us in open office spaces that, you know, we might look a little weird, you know, breathing and closing our eyes, doing whatever.
You don't have to close your eyes. If you're in an open office space with a bunch of other people, I think I showed you before what I have, and you know, nobody here can see it because it's auditory, but I work with people and I laminate. These are mini calendar photos of beautiful places. I'm showing you one of a beach and you're looking at it nodding.
It's very beautiful. I could be there right now.
What would you do if you were there?
Oh, I would just be sitting on that white sand just staring off into the distance.
Right. Exactly. And what would you be doing if you were here in this beautiful
garden?
Okay. Allergy season. Okay. And then what is this a picture of?
Oh, puppy.
Right.
Oh.
And this is what I do with the littlest kids is I give them a choice between going to a place like this garden with a stream going through it.
Wait, can we go back to the puppy?
Yes, we can go back to the puppy. We have more than one puppy even. Oh, sleeping puppy.
Oh, you're killing me.
So what you can do, and I used to do this. I still do this, is if you take a picture, if I say, okay, here, how about that? This is a picture, what is this a picture of?
A hammock between two palm trees.
On a beach.
On a beach.
Right, on a beautiful beach where there's some, you know, clouds in the background and the water is still and inviting. And
you just found out how literal I am, by the way.
That's okay. But the thing is, this is a literal picture, yeah. Right? So, yeah. And I do this with the little kids too. With the little kids, they have these laminated photos. These are just mini calendar photos of beautiful places and puppies. But so you tack this up where you tack up the pictures of your kids and you look up.
I love that idea. Yeah, I could definitely do that.
That's all you do. And so nobody knows you're doing it. Nobody knows what you're looking at.
So you're not filing your nails?
Or filing your nails. A lot of what this is isn't about, you know, standing up in your cube in your giant room and saying, I'm about to relax now. None of it is like that. It's about how do you do this stuff while you're doing everything else?
Right.
Because you can't, I was saying before, it's like it's unrealistic to think that anybody can take the time out of their day to do big things time-wise when they have a million other activities that have to be accomplished work-wise or life-wise. But so this is one I do all the time.
Right.
This is a photograph. It is very concrete, right? I give you this photograph. This is for you.
I love this. Oh.
That is for you. Well, you can have that one or you can have this one. Which one would you like?
I like this one.
Okay, well, you keep that hammock photo. And
yeah,
you put
I like that.
You put it where you need it. And and
it's
so,
going up on my cube.
Excellent. That goes in your cube. So that's an answer to that. Is there's these things you can do. And you can, you know, and the thing is there's stretches, right? That nobody cares if you're, what I'm doing right now is I'm raising my hands over my head and I'm just stretching. Then I'm moving my hands out to the side and I'm wiggling my fingers. And it makes a big difference sometimes just to do that. I will show you something I teach to adults and kids that is weirdly magical.
Oh, okay. I love magic.
What we're going to do is you're going to just take your hand and you're going to put it up. So your fingers are spread. You're just holding it up. And when I work with the kids, I call this the starfish hand meditation.
Okay.
But the teachers love it too. So what you're going to do is remember when you used to do those drawings of turkeys using your hand?
Yeah.
This is basically the same thing. But you have your hand up with your five fingers. And anybody listening can do this too as long as they're not driving. And you take the index finger of your other hand and you just move it along your hand, so in and out of your fingers, and you just go up and down and around your hand and then bring it down to the other side, and then you do it again, and you just do this a few times, and it's this like weirdly relaxing thing. And if you just do this four or five times, what this does is it actually, again, helps bring down the volume. And this, I have seen in Bright Horizons classrooms all doing this, and you can palpably feel the difference in the energy level. It's really crazy. And I work also with kids who have disabilities and a variety of kids and kids who have hearing issues and visual issues. And so the thing is, a lot of this stuff is how do you get stuff across to everybody? And so some of it is that it's this like tactile stuff.
It's like the equivalent of scratching a puppy behind his ears.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what it feels like. It's, yeah. So that's, you know, now that we've taken out these pictures, that's one answer.
No, this is great. Well, so I love these in the moment strategies because we all need those, whether it's in the car, wherever. But are there things that you can do that translate further? So
thank you for asking that. That is really, really important and something I forget to mention sometimes. So thank you for that reminder. This is all about practice. You know, it's like Carnegie Hall. It's all about practice. And the thing is, it's maybe cliche, but it's like a muscle also that you can see benefits immediately, and that's great. You know, like, oh, I took 5 breaths in my cubicle. I looked at my picture in the hammock and I imagined myself lying there and I felt phenomenal. But then, you know, 3 minutes later, I had something dumped on me that had to be done before I left that day, and all the benefit was lost. It's cumulative. This stuff is cumulative. I mean, people who do yoga or have the time to do yoga recognize that it's cumulative, that there are huge advantages to doing this regularly, which is why when this is taught in clinical programs, they do have the capacity to say, if you want to deal better with your heart condition and not have another heart attack, our prescription is to do some sort of meditation, mindfulness, whatever it is, activity, 20 minutes twice a day. As I said to you, I'm not going to say that to you because that's unrealistic. But if you can do something every day, if you were to look at that photograph, you look at that photo, consciously look at that photo a few times a day and take, you know, 3 deep breaths while you're doing it, noticing that your abdomen is rising and falling. And that nobody's going to see that because you're sitting in your chair.
Right.
That's no, you know, it's not like you're standing up and saying, I'm breathing like the Buddha. It's not going to happen. So the more you do it, the more benefit you derive physically, emotionally, behaviorally. If you and your kid have this knowledge, you can do it together. The littler, the more willing they are. And so part of it is cumulative for yourself and helping your kids learn to do this too, so that you can say, let's do that belly breathing, or let's try that balloon breath. This is what we call, you know, like balloon breath or blowing bubbles. There's a lot of different ways of teaching it to littler kids. Bubbles, blowing bubbles is sort of the most descriptive to do while speaking into a microphone. So if I was telling you to pretend you were blowing bubbles, how would you do it? Right. But first, you would hold your hand, you pretend you're holding a bubble wand, and first you take a breath in. And if you blow too fast, if you blow really fast, the bubbles aren't going to work.
Right.
Right. So if you take a breath in, and then you blow like you're blowing bubbles, you're going to blow out really slowly.
Right.
So it is all these things are really, you know, part of what it's about is coming up with what works for you. Mm-hmm. And whether that's, you know, like the sound of this bell. With the sound of the bell, what people often do is that if we have to listen closely to things, it can be very calming. So with the bell, what people often do, and I do this with kids all the time, is you listen closely till you can't hear the bell anymore, and you keep taking deep breaths until you can't hear it anymore, and then you know, they put their hands on their lap. And what they often do is I have them, they take a deep breath in and raise their hands over their head, and then they bring their hands down slowly as the bell is ringing, and then when they can't hear it anymore, they put their hands on their lap, and then we do it again. And teachers often use the singing bowl in transitions when it's time to come in from, you know, an activity and to gather quietly and to move from one thing to the other. And it is like, ding, you know, it can often be, you know, you don't want to associate any of these activities or sounds with a less pleasurable activity, because what you want to do is you don't want to use the bowl like, okay, I'm going to ring the bowl now and everybody has to scrub the floor. You know, it's like, that's not what you want to do. But there are ways to make it, you know, so that you associate it with preferred activities.
Harnessing it for good.
Exactly.
You know, so there's one other point I want to get to, because you've talked a lot about kids. And look, I know where my stress level comes from. I know, you know, my phone, my computer, my middle of the night worrying about my kids. But I think it's really important to discuss why children might be stressed, because I think it's easy to think, you know, what do they have to worry about? But you talked earlier that it is stressful to be a kid these days.
If you think about the kids who go to Bright Horizons or who go to second grade, fifth grade, college, whatever the case might be, A, there's a lot of unknowns for them during the day. And B, pre-K kids, say we think about pre-K and kinder prep kids who have more agency of the preschool kids. They are with adults that they don't initially know. Some of them get there by 7:15. When is the earliest? I mean, they get there early, right? Mm-hmm. They get there very early. Some of them are probably picked up not until 6 or so. It can be pretty late.
It can be a long day.
It can be a very long day. So it's a longer day than adults often have. Without, you know, they don't get to say, I'm going to go have lunch in the playground by myself at, you know, 11:30 because now is when I'm hungry. Or, you know what? I could use a little coffee right now. So I'm going to go around the corner to Starbucks. They don't have agency in those things.
Right.
So they are with, you know, from one activity to the next all day long. Curriculum is wonderful, but it's also demanding. And kids up to in their 20s have these pretty prescribed lives with a lot of expectation attached to them and not a lot of independence. I was telling you that I saw a group of kids going to the park across the street from me yesterday, and one of them really looked, as I said to you, really looked like he was out of, you know, Les Mis and the first scene of Les Miserables, where he's like going to the, you know, the work site, because he had clearly been crying and it wasn't where he wanted to be, but he doesn't have a choice.
Right.
Understandably.
Of course.
And he's, you know, and he's fine and he's safe and it's a beautiful park and it was a gorgeous day. But they have very high demand days. And they might be hungry, they might be overtired, they might not be feeling that great, and they're still there,
right,
having essentially a 12-hour day.
Right.
I think they have a great deal of fun.
Oh,
but,
of course.
You know, but I spend time in preschool classrooms. There is, you know, there's conflict in preschool, there's interpersonal conflict. I mean, it's also like if you put some of them, you put them in little suits and, you know, little office outfits, they would sometimes sound just like us.
Yeah, no, it definitely is a little microcosm.
It's a little microcosm.
Yeah.
Beth says not all stress is bad. We can't erase it, so we might as well learn to live with it. One piece of advice that was given to me that I pass on to my own daughter is when you have a big feeling, something you have to act on now, sometimes you should just sit on it for a minute. If you like what you heard today, get more of our podcast by subscribing. While you're downloading, let us know what you thought, or give us a share. Thanks to everyone for being here. We look forward to seeing you next time as we help make the work-life equation add up.